How do we do something unique and different? Let's look at the skill sets that somebody needs, not just in their formal structures of their agency, but broadly. Because most problems, they're not just one agency, one person, or one team. They might be cross-jurisdictional. They might take in public, private sector, state and local. They're really pretty broad these days and require some quick action against them, and trying to find leverage networks, leverage stakeholders, and really understanding how different areas function. And so that's what we're looking at. What do you need to be a senior leader, whether it's SES or GS15 level? I mean, a lot of GS15s are doing some really big programs. But so what do you need? You need stakeholders. You need to understand them. You need to understand different agencies and their cultures. You need a network, and you need some sort of understanding of how to collaborate and bring those pieces together.
And that's something that the government hasn't been able to do so far, because I know you're not being different just to be different. It's because there's a problem with the current candidate development system.
I think a lot of it goes in the same way that we hire, recruit, train people. We do it by agencies, because each agency functions as an individual entity. And so what we're doing is taking people outside of those entities, sticking them in projects that run across organizations, and having them work on those, which is different than the formal lines of authority, of structure that you would get in an individual leadership development program.
Tell me about the fellowship year. It's going to start in October. Mm-hmm. Is a person going to be assigned to, say, a particular project that might take them from agency to agency?
So what we're placing them in, it's a nice opportunity and a nice fit. Back in 2010, Congress passed the GPRA Modernization Act, and that required agencies to come up with, and the administration, to agree upon these cross-agency priority goals. There are 15 of them right now, and they are ongoing. So what we're going to do is look at those and say, what's being done in these CAP goals? Where can we place people in? Because those have multiple agencies working on something as broad as customer service, which impacts every agency, every department. So then, because those are already set up and they offer a nice platform for us to allow folks to come in and move the ball forward on them, they'll do a one-year rotation. Their on-the-job experience will be working on one of these CAP goal teams, and then they will have weekly developmental programming around leadership development, skill sets, networks, the whole shebang.
So where's their office going to be?
Well, that depends on each CAP goal. So that's also the unique thing, is that, again, going back to, we're taking them out of formal structures. They will be sitting and probably mobile in some sense. They might be at one of the offices in Executive Office of the President, whether it's OMB, OSTP, CEQ. Each CAP goal has a lead, co-leads that are an EOP office and then agency offices. And so they may also be sitting for part of the time at each of those agencies as well, both to get a culture, but also to bring the players together and work on that collaboration piece.
So you're going to start small this year, right? Each mm-hmm. agency gets to nominate three people?
Up to three.
Okay. And that's for every agency?
Those that choose to participate. And so, I hope, and it's my sincere hope, and I do think a lot of agencies will nominate folks. And we are being very selective this year. We're only taking 10 participants. Gives us an opportunity to really see where the program can best be leveraged to help these folks in their developmental step.
So who's an ideal candidate? I mean, you're going to get tons of applications because there's so many federal employees who on paper probably would qualify. They're GS-15. So how are you going to choose just 10?
That is going to be a challenge, because I really do think there are a lot of qualified people out here. That's one of the reasons we've asked agencies to nominate first, up to three folks. It does have to be, the nomination has to go through their deputy secretary, and agencies are running their own internal selection processes as we speak. We launched it about a week and a half ago, so agencies are working on this. And then we've got a selection day group. We're going to run them through structured interviews, some scenarios, and have our selection committee, which will have folks from the CAP goal teams, from various councils and perspectives across government, come in and really look at these folks to see who we think will not only have the skills to succeed in this, because I do think you have to come in and be willing to take on some challenging opportunities. Again, without that formal structure, you're really going to have to make your own way in some sense in terms of picking up the job quickly. And then also folks who really are truly inspired by collaborating, by building networks, and by leveraging those networks.
So what's going to happen to the 10 folks after this 1 year ends? Do they go on to the SES?
Fortunately or unfortunately, not everybody wants to go into the SES these days, but the hope is that they do aspire to the SES. Whether they go in right away or not depends on their timeline depends on what slots are open in agencies and how that process works. But the hope is that they've become very strong, collaborative enterprise leaders, whether they stay at JS15 or go into the SES.
Just wondering how you have prepared agencies for this new way of thinking. I mean, they're used to running their own candidate development programs, picking their own senior executives from a certain pool of people whom they've prepared or they understand what their qualifications are on paper. So how are they going to adjust to this more multidisciplinary, more vague way of development?
You know, in some sense, it's different in terms of that we're putting on them in projects that aren't housed at one agency. But a lot of candidate development programs take in folks from various agencies. So agencies are used to sending their folks off to a different CDP. Not every agency runs a candidate development program. So folks really do. And then you've got places like State Department and the intelligence community and DOD that run these joint national security programs. So I think there is some precedent out there for what we're doing. It's just maybe not as broad across functional areas. You know, it might be national security. It might be a couple different functions, but it's not really as broad looking as we're going for. And so most agencies I've talked to have been really excited about this opportunity. And I think for them, it's a great way to look at some of their folks and say, okay, who has these skill sets and who can we build upon those skill sets? And then what do we do when they come back? Let's look at some really unique projects we can give them.
We're speaking with Jenny Mattingly, and she's director of the White House Leadership Development Program. Now, this is a new role for you.
It is.
You have spent years on the outside advocating for senior executive service members and their needs. You know, this is relatively late in the game for the Obama administration. So how much can this program achieve before the administration ends? Who knows when a new president, what sort of direction they want to take it in?
Absolutely. I think that's a challenge no matter if a program started 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 10 years ago. I mean, every administration comes in and puts their own stamp on things sometimes. The hope is that what we build really shows some return on investment, both at a program level in terms of the work that's being done on the CAP goals, looking at implementing priorities, organizational performance, but also for these folks, if we can really show some development, and we will certainly be assessing throughout how both work on the CAP goals and work on their personal development is going, that we can show that this is a really interesting way. And I think there's so much out there written, and there's a lot of outside folks who talk about the need for enterprise leaders and collaboration. So I think there really is a broad group of support coming from all angles that will help us push the ball forward on this.
Once the program gets going, what sort of things are you going to be looking for or hoping to leverage to ensure that it's sustainable?
Well, I think in terms of sustainability, I think it's getting them development. You know, if we can show that they've built some networks here, if we can show that they've really gotten a handle on different stakeholders, because I think for a lot of federal employees, it'll be interesting to go into the Office of Management and Budget, go into some of these executive offices of the president. And one of the things that's interesting, too, is we're staring down a presidential transition. So these folks coming into this program will have the opportunity to see how high visibility policies really get implemented and move across a transition. How do agencies take a priority and push it past a transition? So they'll get some experience that I think both agencies want, but I think we'll actually show if we can assess the organizational performance and say, look, these were our objectives and here's how we met them, then we can show that it's really a program that should move on.